In our day-to-day life, when we go out from here, and every day for 365 days a year, and throughout our life, how to remain, how to balance our life in such a way that in every situation, we are always focused. We are not deviated or distracted from the ultimate goal of life. That requires practical guidance. And therefore, even if you have not heard anything, sometime you were not attentive, you couldn't come one day or two days, no problem. But the next session, Sunday at 5:30, my sincere request, please, if somebody has not come, you inform them and get your friends. Not the new ones, only who has registered. My sincere request is, please come. It's the most important session. And we will be discussing about the practical application of Bhagavad Gita in our day-to-day life. And I can tell you for sure, when you walk out of the room that day, at least you should not have any doubts as to how to begin my life right now. From whichever stage I am, in whatever situation of life, student, housewife, or businessman, or whatever. So, that is about the yoga. And we will end here. I think I've still managed to, this is one of the longest sessions, but I somehow have managed to bring it down. So I wanted to have some question answers. So if there are any questions, we can take a few of them. Yeah. Can you pass the mic?
Hare Krishna. See, why Sudama was having a lot of suffering in his life?
Why Sudama was suffering?
In his life.
Krishna,
even though he was a
Krishna puts his devotees in such a situation to show to the world two things. Pandavas, the only thing they knew in their lives was suffering. Bhakta Prahlad was the greatest devotee of the Lord. And throughout his life, the only thing Hiranyakashipu did to him was torture him, and he had to undergo all suffering. And why didn't Narsingdev come before? Was he not in the pillar? Till then the pillar was empty. He was there everywhere at all time. The devotees, the great advanced souls, are put into trouble for two reasons. To further purify them and to glorify them in the eyes of the world. When pure gold has some contamination, you know how they remove that contamination? They throw that gold into fire, blazing fire. When gold is put into fire, all the contamination is removed and the gold comes out shining than ever before. More than ever before. If it is an artificial gold, it will become black. A real gold, only in the fire, it comes out shining ever before. So when the Lord puts his devotees into the fire of trouble or suffering, number one, there is more opportunity for the devotee to take shelter of the Lord. Helplessly. Because when everything is comfortable, then we say, why do we need God? I can manage on my own. But in a helpless state, we cry out. So he create such a situation in the lives in very great advanced souls, not in our lives. If we are in a KG school, we won't be given a PhD paper. Everything will go above our head. Just like a teacher tests according to the level of the child. She won't give an 8th standard paper to a 4th standard child. She knows what is his level and the test will be accordingly. So to show the advancement of these souls, the Lord puts them into the fire of suffering. And the whole world sees how brilliantly they come out, more effulgent than ever before. They have all the reasons to blame God, to go away from God, to blaspheme God, and to give up their service to God, their love, their surrender. But in fact, only during those troubles, they take shelter of the Lord much more than ever before. And in the whole world comes to know how glorious. The only way Prahlad could come out of suffering, the only thing he had to do was say Jai Hiranyakashipu instead of Jai Sri Hari. Hiranyakashipu told him, he was the king of the whole universe. The whole emperorship of the universe was at his hand. He could enjoy like anything. He just had to say, Jai Hiranyakashipu, you are God. He refused. And just for that one little thing, which was a major thing, Hiranyakashipu tortured him for innumerable ways. And because of that, the glories of Prahlad are spread all over the world. If the tests don't come, how do you know in a class who is good, who is bad? When the teacher comes, everyone has opened the book. Very studious. But somebody may have comics inside their books and, you know, teacher says, oh, everyone is studying, very good. But who has really studied and done the homework, you will know only when you give the test. So everyone may say, ah, Hare Krishna, God is good. But even in times of trouble, will you still continue to serve God? Remain faithful, continue to chant his glories under any circumstances, then these people stand out much above all others. So the Pandavas, Prahlad, Sudama, they were these very, very exalted souls. They were not ordinary people. And therefore Krishna showed by putting them in such a situation. He could have asked Krishna for anything, but he hesitated. He didn't even ask Krishna. His wife had told him. And Krishna was eager. He wanted, just ask and I would give. He was so ashamed to ask anything. He says, no, I've given, okay. 3 days he stayed or something like that. He didn't even ask. When he went back, Krishna knew his heart and he wanted to please his wife. Ultimately, he'd come for that. So that's it. Yeah.
Hare Krishna Babuji. How to understand whether we are making progress in devotion, or we are staying at the same stage, or we are fallen. How to understand that?
Yeah. How to understand whether you are making progress or remaining same place. Suppose you are going from Bombay to Pune. Okay? And you have a vehicle and you are driving. How do you know whether you are going to Pune or not, or you are going towards Nasik? How do you know? Actual situation. Suppose you have a car. What are you observing? The road? Distance, one thing. Kilometers. But then what? What else? Kilometers everywhere. In Delhi also there are kilometers. Direction. But how do you know the direction? Milestones, right? There are milestones. It says, Nasik, oh, this is not the way. Pune, 60 kilometers. Oh, very good. Pune, 59. Wow, 1 kilometer ahead. Pune, 50. Very good. So one thing is the milestones. Sometimes you have a map also. After 2 hours, Lonawala should come. But something else comes, then you know, are, I think I've taken my wrong, because now Lonawala should come. Say, there is a bungalow here, there's this and there's this. Somebody's already gone and given you a map, instruction. You know, where to take a right turn. Huh? Don't take here, you have to take a right turn there. And you go there and say, there is a bakery there and there is some shop there. Ah, yes, that means I have come till Lonawala. That means 2/3 is covered. So, the scriptures are giving the direction. The scriptures say, Adav Shraddha, Tata Sadhu Sangha, Tata Bhajana Kriya, Tata Anartha Nivritti, Nishtha, Ruchi, Bhava, Prema. And even in Prema, different levels. Therefore, one has to study the science of devotion. It's not something emotional, just, you know, whimsical. It's actually a science. How to develop that pure love and not become sentimental. It's not some sentimental Agarbatti revolving, you know. It's actually a science of understanding who God is, what my relationship, and to establish. Whether it's being established or not, this is a science. So I would recommend you to read these books written by the great souls who have traversed the path. Their experience, and they have given their this is it. These are the steps. The scriptures, there are three checklists. Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. The Shastra are the scriptures, which gives different, just like a huge map, road map, you know. Nasik, Pune, that, this, everywhere is Aurangabad, everything is given there. But then the great sadhus say, you're not to go there, go only this place. This place is worth going. And a guru is a person who actually tells you how to go there. So scriptures, the great souls of the past, acharyas, and current representative of them, that is the guru. We will discuss that tomorrow. Any other? Yeah.
Soul is the parts, minute parts of the God.
Keep it closer, Mike. Yeah.
Soul is the minute parts of the God.
Yeah.
Every living entity is having soul.
Yeah.
Scriptures recommend that one should not be meat eater. Okay. He should be vegetarian. Soul is in the plants. That is a vegetable. How we can convince ourselves?
So we're not supposed to hurt any souls because it causes violence. But when you eat plants, they are also having life. What to do about it? Interesting question. You see, first of all, this material world is designed in such a way that one living entity has to live on other living entity. Jivo jivasya jivanam. You can't eat nuts and bolts. You have to eat another organic product. And that means either a plant or an animal or another human being. Cannibal. So, first and foremost thing is, do the least damage. Suppose you are going in a desert and your brother is with you and a goat is with you and a kilo of carrot is with you and you are hungry. Which one will you eat first? Least damage. You have to eat something. First you will eat the carrot. Then you will see nothing else. Survival of the fittest. What to do? Cut the goat. What to do? Survival. Have to cross the road. Then I... And if you are not a cannibal, you will never look at your brother. Otherwise you may eye out also. So, the process is least damage. The animals resist when you try to kill them. The plants are not so evolved. Just like suppose, I want to practice boxing. I can do it two ways. I can have a sandbag and punch it. Or for my practice, I can go on the street and the first fellow I meet, I can punch him on the nose. But I try to do least damage and get my job done. When you take the fruits of the, you are not killing the plant, you know, nuts and roots like that. But still, rice, grain, they are grown exclusively for that purpose. So the idea is one of least damage. But in Hindi there is a saying, Khira chor ya heera chor, chor so chor. If you go to a shop and take away one safety pin, you know, or you take one mobile inside, you're still a thief. You may say, are a safety pin, do paise kai. Whether it is 2 paisa thievery or 2 lakh thievery, a thief is a thief. So, whether you kill animal or a human being or cut a carrot or no, pluck some carrot off the field or whatever, it is violence. But at the same time, if you want to live, you have to live on another living entity. Therefore, not just least damage, there is going to be sin. Actually, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Yagya shishta asina santo mucchante sarva kilvishai bhunjate te tu agham papa ye pachanti atma karana. Even if you eat pure vegetarian food, you are going to get sin. Maybe less. Here is more because it's developed consciousness. Here is a less developed consciousness. Therefore, the sin is less. If sometimes rats or frogs are killed on the street while driving. Police don't catch you for that. Sometimes dogs also killed. But another human being is killed, then it's a, you know, they take it seriously and inquiry and all that is said. So many rats die. Why nobody takes? Let's develop consciousness. But in the law of God, you are entangled. So, at least number one is do least damage. When you take the plants, you are doing the least damage. But still, reaction is there. So the best way to get out of reaction is to offer the food to God. That is called prasad. Suppose I come to your home and I see some nice object which I like. And when you go to bring me water, then I put it in my pocket and walk away. I am a thief. But suppose I tell you, hey, this is so nice. If you don't mind, can I keep it? Yeah, aray, why this? Take the other also. Take the stand also, you know. Not only the object, take the stand also. Oh, then you get the same object without entangling yourself. So Krishna is the supreme owner, controller, proprietor, enjoyer of everything. So you say, I have to survive, you know. So let me, I am taking this carrot. First you take, huh? Offer it. Hare Krishna, then I will take. Then Krishna takes away the karma from there. Therefore, the prasad becomes a karma diet. Not only that, when you take prasad, the past reactions are also purified. When you take food that is offered to Krishna. But somebody may be a little smart. He says, wow, I never knew that. From tomorrow, I'll take chicken biryani and mutton ketchup or whatever, you know, chop and offer to Krishna. Tomorrow, a cannibal may say, Manushyaya Swaha, and he may offer to Krishna. No. If you want to please Krishna, suppose you call me home, you don't stuff in my mouth what you like. You ask me, Thanda Garam, what do you want? So if you feed someone, you have to ask him what he wants. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yome Bhaktyat Prayachati Tadaham Bhakti Uparatam Ashnami. Anyone who offers me with love and devotion, a leaf, a fruit, a water, or a flower. Flower means cauliflower also. The idea is, whatever he asks, you offer. And that becomes purified. And also Krishna describes in the 17th chapter, we were discussing, what is food in the mode of goodness, food in the mode of passion, food in the mode of ignorance. Krishna is in pure goodness. So the best, you can't offer pure goodness because we are not pure and this material world is full of three modes. So you have to offer the best. And the best is in the mode of goodness. And goodness means pure vegetarian food. So therefore, we offer whatever the purest we can get and most sattvic food, offer it to Krishna and then we take. Then we are protected. Otherwise, even if you eat pure vegetarian food, cooked in pure Bisleri water, still every lump of food that you eat, you are eating sin. A lump of sins you are eating because you are taking the property of the Lord without His permission. Even though you may say, I earned this. This is my from khun pasine ki kamai. But then the strength is given to you by Krishna. The intelligence to work is given to you by Krishna. This body is given to you by Krishna. It is all borrowed property. So whatever result has come, it is because Krishna's mercy. Therefore, we have to take permission. Therefore, we are not vegetarian. We are Krishnatarian. Whatever we eat, we first offer. And because it has to be offered to Krishna, only what Krishna eats, that only we eat. If Krishna doesn't like it, we don't like it. Does it make sense? Let's give others an opportunity. If there is any, otherwise you can. Yeah.
Hello. Prabhuji, mantra can be replaced by Mahamantra, as you just told regarding Sravan Kirtanam, the nine ways of bhakti. So I believe that chanting of the mantra is very much sensitive for the bhakti. So will you tell me that whether the mantra can be replaced by Mahamantra?
Yeah. This Kali Yuga, we are Mahapatita. Patita means fallen. But in Kali Yuga, we are Mahapatita. So ordinary mantra cannot lift. Only Maha mantra will lift up. You know, just like in Bombay you have Pepsi Cola and Coca Cola. Recently there was 75 Maha Cola. Maha Cola means if you drink one, then you know you don't have to drink any other cola. So it's like that. Because in Kali Yuga, we are so fallen, to elevate, a Maha Mantra is required. And it is described in this mantra, because it contains the word of the Supreme, name of the Supreme Lord, and also specifically recommended in Kali Santarana Upanishad for Kali Yuga. This is like the prescribed mantra. And within this, all other mantras of the scriptures and their potencies are automatically included. And therefore, by chanting this mantra, we are automatically fulfilling the chanting of all other mantras. Therefore, it is called Mahamantra. Mahamantra means this one mantra is enough to compensate for all the other mantras recommended in the Vedic scriptures, especially for Kali Yuga.
So, I mean that suppose I have got Diksha from one of the Guru and I have got a mantra for chanting, so I can replace my own previous mantra by the Maha Mantra with your kind permission.
Actually, you have to first decide who is a real Guru. Sometimes people have a huge ceremony where thousands are given Diksha, but they don't even know who God is, who they are, what do they... Diksha is a very serious thing. Do you go to a doctor who stands in a stadium and, okay, all of you take aspirin and goes away? It's a very personal thing. Each one should be given personal prescription. It's a very serious and deep relationship. Do you go to, you know, any doctor, pick up any book and take any medicine? Not like that. The guru means there's a personal relationship that you have to develop. And that guru should also be bona fide. We will discuss tomorrow, the next session, we'll discuss actually what are the qualifications of a guru. I've seen many, many cases, including very close friends of mine. We had so many, you know, gurus and taken so many mantras, but we actually never understood what guru is, how serious thing it is. Sometimes we just put the picture on the wall. We ask him, who is this? My guru. Acha, what is his philosophy? What is the ultimate goal of life? Then what is he doing? No, whatever I do, Guruji, I am doing today, Hare Krishna. So he has his blessings like this, and I continue to do whatever nonsense. So that's not a guru. Guru means it's a very serious affair, just like a doctor. He interferes, he intervenes in our life, and to the extent we actually are getting removed from the disease. So scriptures say who actually a guru is. What are the qualifications of a guru? Anyone, just because he's respected by public. This is not a democracy. 10 people say he's a guru, therefore I'm a guru. No. Guru is a very serious thing. We will discuss that tomorrow, next session. So at that time you can clarify.
Actually, in general public, most of the people doesn't know while going to the Diksha or anything, whether what type of guru he is there.
By the mercy of God, one gets a guru, and by the mercy of guru, one gets God. So if you don't know, sincerely cry to the Lord. I am fool number one. I don't know. Please guide me to such a personality who can guide me to you. If you are... Dhruv Maharaj was sincere when he went to the forest to search for God. Narada came to him. He did not search. If you are sincere, if you are sincerely desiring to achieve God in this very lifetime, and without any motivation, we want to have a guru who will give blessings to get a good wife or good husband or good car, then you will get a guru like that, who will give you a blessing to get a good car and good wife, but not Krishna. But if you aspire for a pure bona fide spiritual master, who actually, if you have a sincere desire, you don't have to search for a guru. A guru will come in our life. And when such a person comes, the guru within our heart Chaitya Guru, the Paramatma within our heart, will give confirmation from within. Yes, here he is. Surrender unto him. The confirmation will come from within. So, first thing is we have to become sincere. We should not have ulterior motives in accepting a guru. Other than the fact that I want to know the truth and I am ready to pay any price. What is the proof of sincerity? I don't have any other intention than knowing the truth, and to achieve the truth, I am ready to pay any price. Disciple means discipline. If guru says something, will you do it? That's a serious affair. You want to get married. You want to inquire everything about the family background, that, this, everything. Why? Because you have to live through a whole life. Chakshudan diloye janme janme prabhu se. The guru is an eternal thing. So it's a very serious thing. So we have to develop sincerity, then God will send in our life, and through his mercy we will understand God. Any other comment? Yeah. Just a minute. We want you to speak in the mic.
We always read that Meera's bhakti was Madhura bhakti. Was it different than Radha's? What is Madhura bhakti?
There are different kinds of rasas. There are five kinds of relationship that you develop with Lord. One is Shanta. Shanta means you are great, I am insignificant. Then Dasya. Dasya means you are my master eternally, I am your insignificant servant. Just like Hanumanji. Hanumanji was always in the mood of a servant, and Lord Ram was his eternally the master. So that is servant and master relationship. That is Dasya Rasa. The third kind of Rasa is Sakhya. Like Arjuna and Krishna. They were like friends. Always putting hands on each other's shoulder, and what do you think today is like that? Or cowherd boys. Krishna plays with his cowherd boys. They are playing, eating with the same lunch box. Very intimate. There is another one, Vatsalya, where the devotee has a relationship of God as his son. Like Nand Maharaj and Yashoda Mai. They served Krishna as their child. Generally, we go to God with expectation from him. But when you with your child, you serve without any expectations. That's called Vatsalya. Parent and child relationship. And in the last one is Madhurya or Madhura. Madhura means lover and the beloved. And this is considered the highest rasa. Why? Because a lover and the beloved, the lover is also the servant, sometimes a friend, sometimes acts like a parent, protective, but at the same time, there is some intimacy that is there between the lover and the beloved that's not there with any other persons. So each one higher is inclusive of the lower ones, but the lower ones doesn't contain the higher ones. Just like when you do SSLC, you've already done primary and, you know, secondary education. When you are a graduate, that means you've already done pre-university and others. When you are a postgraduate, that means you've already done the others. And when you're a doctorate, that means you've done all the below. So Madhura Ras, or intimate, lover and the beloved, this is considered the highest. And the highest of that is Radha and Krishna. The love between Radha and Krishna. That is Madhuri Ras.
What about Meera?
Yeah. There are so many devotees who are in that rasa. All the gopis were in that rasa. Radharani is the topmost. She is eternal consort. But other Meera and so many others, they are living entities. She is the eternal energy of the Lord, Srimati Radharani. So we are following in that footsteps. We can't imitate those things. We just follow in the footsteps. We assist those who are serving in that mood. So that's bona fide. We have to hear from proper source and follow. Then one day we may attain that level. It's not so easy. It seems very easy, but it's not so easy. Many, many lifetimes of sincere service is required. So one last question. Yes, we'll give a new person. Krishna. Whole universe was seen inside. How can I? Because I can't put a stone also in my mouth. That's why he is Krishna. If something is impossible for Krishna, then what does it mean to be God? What to speak of that? He can, whole universe of ours, he can make it fit on the top of a head of a needle. That's not impossible for him. That's faith, that God can do anything and everything. We are insignificant, tiny parts and parcels. We are making some chips and try to, you know, advancement and trying to make laptop into palm top into finger top or whatever. So can't God make supreme perfection of that? He can make needle top. The whole universe he can put on a needle top. Ours is a perverted reflection of that same propensity. Nothing is impossible for him. That's what it means to be God. In this connection, there's a story. Once, Narada was going across. He was wanting to go to Vaikuntha because he travels everywhere. He's a transcendental spaceman. He couldn't go anywhere. So he was going, and on the way, he met a great pandit, a great pujari, worshipper in a temple. And the panditji said, "Oh, Naraji, where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to Vaikuntha." "Really? So when you go there, please find out, ask Vishnu, when I will come to his abode." He said, "All right." Then he went across the street. He was going further. Then there was a cobbler. And he said, "Oh, Naraji, it's my great fortune. I've seen you today. Come and sit." He made him sit on the stone where he makes all that shoes, because that's the only thing he was there. So he made him sit down and made him, fed him some. There was a vatavriksha. You know, there were some fruits. So he made him take that fruit and offered his obeisances. Then he said, "Where are you going? You must be going to Vaikuntha. Please convey my respectful obeisances to the Lord. And hopefully pray to him that one day I will come to his feet and serve him." Narada said, "All right." And then he went. He went to Vishnu. And he asked Vishnu, "My Lord, these two people I met." And Lord said, yeah, "I know what they asked. Go and tell them. The cobbler will come. In this very lifetime, he will come to me. And this so-called pujari of the temple, he will not come in millions of lifetimes." Narada was shocked. He said, "Why?" He said, "Just go and tell them what I said. You will know why." "All right." So Narada went back. So first came the that pujari. So he said, "Oh, Naraji, you are back. Pranam, pranam, dandavat pranam." "So, you went to Vaikuntha?" "Yes." "You saw Narayan?" "Yes." "So, when am I going?" He said, "Not in a million lifetime." He said, "What? What nonsense are you talking?" He said, "Yes, the Lord said." He said, "This is nonsense, absolutely nonsense. I don't think you have gone to Vaikuntha. In fact, I doubt whether you are real Narada or some, you know, drama fellow." He said, "I don't believe. All nonsense. Just get out." "Okay. This is one more thing I forgot to tell." So Narayan told him, "Narada, you don't tell them." When he asked, you say, how can I explain to them? He said, "Don't explain to them anything. Just tell. If they ask you, what was the Lord doing when you saw? The proof that you went, saw the Lord." He said, "Narayan, the Lord told Narada, tell him that I was putting an elephant through the eye of a needle. I was, you know, bringing out an elephant through the eye of a needle." Narada said, "What? Okay, I will tell." So, to test Narada, whether he really went to he said, "I doubt you ever went to Vaikuntha. I doubt whether you are Narada. Anyway, let me test you. What was Narayan doing? Tell me, when you went there." Narada said, "He was putting an elephant through the eye of a needle." "This is confirmation that you are bogus. Everything is bogus. Just get out." "Impossible. Lord putting elephant to the eye of a needle? Is it possible?" "Impossible." Narada immediately understood why this fellow cannot go back. Millions of lifetimes. Then he went to the cobbler. The cobbler received with tears in his eyes, "Naraji, you are back. It's my double great fortune to see a great soul like you. you have come to my abode. Please sit down. So Narada said, I went to Vaikuntha. Oh, really? Please, please describe all the activities of my Lord. He said, before that, let me tell you, in this very lifetime, you will go back. He said, really? That is his mercy. I am not qualified. I am such an insignificant fallen person. Anyway, forget about that. Please, please tell me what my Lord was doing. I want to hear the beautiful pastimes of my Lord. You want to hear? He said, yes. He was putting an elephant through the eye of a needle. And this cobbler said, wow, what? How great my Lord is. How wonderful, how sweet. Narada said, what? How sweet? Do you believe? Do you believe that an elephant was being put through the eye of a needle? The cobbler said, why not? My Lord can do anything. For example, I am sitting under this huge banyan tree. And in this banyan tree, there are millions of fruits, small, small fruits, banyan fruits. And they keep falling. And within each fruit, there are hundreds of seeds. Into each of these seeds, my Lord has put one banyan tree each. And not only that, within the seed is a potential banyan tree. And within that banyan tree, hundreds of trees will come. And within which, hundreds of fruits and hundreds of seeds. And into each of those seeds, another tree which contains, you know, it just go on and on and on and on. And the tears in his eyes, he said, my Lord is so wonderful. What can he not do? Putting an elephant through the eye of a needle, it is just a puny thing. Narada realized. He said, now I can understand why God said that you will go back. Because you have complete faith in the inconceivable potency of God. That's what God means. He has inconceivable potency. There is nothing that God cannot do. If something God cannot do, then he's not God. That's a cheap man who claims himself to be God. Nothing is impossible for him. In fact, that's the reason why he does some tricks or some kind of activities which fails any rational thinking fellow. And therefore they think all mythology. God came as a fish 80,000 miles long. You know what I mean? Ah, lapet. I don't know. This our Gurukul boys do that. When I try to say. They can't understand. Just because you can't do it, you can't limit God. Suppose I lift this glass which is full of water. And there are two ants sitting there. And one ant tells, there is something called human species. Very powerful. Huh? This mountain that you see in front. This mountain glass. Human can easily lift in their left hand. And an atheist fellow will, ant will say, come on, don't be so nonsense. You, because I can't lift. An ant, you cannot lift, but human can lift. You can't do something which the devatas can do. So, what to speak of God who is the origin of everything? That's why he lifted Govardhan. What's difficult for Govardhan to lift, for God to lift this? Insignificant. He breathes out millions of universes. He breathes out. When he breathes in, all the universes go inside. That's the potency of God. That's why he's God. So, the moment you understand that you cannot understand God, then you begin to understand God. And when you think that you can understand God, that is your ignorance. You have never even understood that you can understand God. That's what Brahma said. He's the creator of the whole universe. But he said, my Lord, I thought you to be an ordinary child. Now I am beginning to know who you are. Anyway, so thank you very much.